At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Thursday. Come on in. Stay a while if you like. Gang's all here, including Fritzy. Backroom guys. We've got it all today. Morale is high. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Who has it better?
Nobody.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. We got football coming up tonight. Cowboys hosting the Seahawks. Cowboys, they win. They win regular season games at home. I think it's 13 in a row. They're 8.5-point favorites, according to DraftKings, against the Seahawks coming up tonight. We'll explore that. The transfer portal is open. Come on in. It's wide open here. Duke, K-State, A&M, Miami, Mississippi State, losing quarterbacks. I'm sure they'll get quarterbacks as well. Aaron Rodgers, it's a 21-day practice window. You know, it's like the commissioner's exempt list. I didn't know that existed until they said, yeah, there's a commissioner's exempt list, the 21-day practice window, and then they decide what they're going to do on Aaron Rodgers if he's going to play. Bailey Zappe is in, Mac Jones is out, and this might be Mac Jones is out of New England eventually. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you, our streaming partner. Download the app if you haven't done so. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Looking forward to celebrating major sporting events, and there's no other city that compares to Las Vegas, a city where spectacle and celebration are woven into the fabric of their community. It's where conventions are not conventional. The unexpected is embraced. It's not just celebrating, it's celebrating with an edge. We look forward to Las Vegas for this year's Super Bowl. Yes, Todd?
Oregon, Washington in Vegas tomorrow night. Sneaky Friday night game. Not everyone maybe realized that the Pac-12 game's tomorrow night.
Yes. Thank you, Todd. And I think we have Washington a 9.5-point underdog in that game as we root for chaos coming up this weekend. All right. Poll question today, Seton. What are you thinking about?
We're thinking about leading off with how will history remember? No. You came in hot today on something, and Paul, I apparently was equally as hot on it. Do you guys care to discuss this topic, and we can fashion the poll question?
Okay.
I don't know if you want to jump right into this.
Okay. I'm going to reenact what happened about 90 minutes ago. I walked in, and I go, do you think the media is rooting for Aaron Rodgers to come back? And Paulie goes, no, that's my poll question. And I go, is that about right?
That's exactly right. We were both.
That's my poll question.
I went,
no, let me try it again. So I'm walking. I walk by Todd. I say, hey, Todd. And he goes, oh, hey.
I'm typing away.
And Paulie's typing away. And I go, you know what? I was wondering about this. Is the media rooting for Aaron Rodgers? What?
That's my poll question. That's what I've been thinking about all morning. That's wild.
Yeah.
That was exactly our conversation.
Yes, that was it. And then I didn't say anything else to Paul the rest of the morning. But I'm wondering if people are picking sides with this. Now, me, I want to see Aaron Rodgers come back and play. But this is more than just Aaron Rodgers, the football player. And I'm wondering if we ask the audience, are you rooting for him to come back? Great. Now, he's not the comeback player of the year. Damar Hamlin is the favorite. You know who's second on the list? Comeback player of the year.
Tua?
Tua.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. Tua is number Tua. And number three is Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers hasn't come back yet. But if he does come back, could he be the comeback player of the year over a guy who nearly died? Well, maybe did die and then was brought back to life on a football field. Yes, Paul.
And he's changed medicine.
He is in the midst of it.
He has changed medicine.
Dr. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
This whole guy came back from the dead. He's literally changed.
Will he get an honorary doctorate if he does come back?
Is there a doctorate in the house?
A doctorate, yes.
I'm a doctor.
Yes.
Okay, whenever there's something posted on Aaron Rodgers about his update of his health or a clip from
when
McAfee,
he's on with McAfee.
Yeah, and he will give an update on his health. It's in a process. The reaction on social media is dramatically different. Some people are like, that'd be great to see him back. It's mostly Jets fans or maybe even old Packers fans who don't hold a grudge. But there's tons of people on social media who are like, screw that guy. It's all about him. He's just doing this for notoriety, blah, blah, blah. Then there's a section of the media, the sports media and NFL media, that has similar reactions. There's some analysts and some reporters, air quotes, who are doubting that he even had traditional Achilles surgery. And others think that he's doing this all for a proving his point as a medical expert. And these are media people's reactions. And there's other media people that say, this would be great if somehow this surgery works, it could work on other athletes and get them back earlier in other sports.
Well, do I think that this is altruistic on Aaron's part? No, it's about Aaron. But if it does help other players, I mean, Kobe, when he blew out his Achilles, I think it was 8 months before he came back. Now, basketball is more demanding on your Achilles than football would be at a quarterbacking position. But things have changed. Modern medicine, and Rodgers wants to be at the forefront of that. I think the problem that people have is when he lied about COVID, when he lied about getting tested. And then, therefore, are they going to believe that he actually has a torn Achilles? Are they rooting for him? I mean, this is where we are in the media. This isn't what we're supposed to do. You're not rooting against somebody because you may not like their political beliefs. Or look, I don't like Deshaun Watson, but if he plays well, my job is still to tell you he played well. And the same with Aaron Rodgers. If I don't agree with him, but I still want him to play football. But now it's not traditional journalism or how to approach this in a traditional way. It's I got an opinion, I got a hot take, and that's what this is. And that's why you're getting a lot of this vitriol that is pointed in Aaron Rodgers' direction. It's about Aaron Rodgers, absolutely. But if it can help the Jets, if it can help other athletes, fine. Yes, Eden.
So then is it wrong for people to look into his words more when he's someone who's known to play with the words he uses?
Sure.
He's like, what? I never lied. I never said I got a vaccination. I was immunized.
Yeah.
I've been immunized.
Yeah.
Has he ever actually said I had a torn Achilles? I don't know. I mean, but part of me is like, oh, I should go back and listen to like interviews he's done on McAfee to see if he's ever said the phrase torn Achilles, because then he could be like, what? I never said I had a torn Achilles. Mm. I said I had an Achilles injury. Mm.
I think it's fair to parse his words.
He's the kind of guy that would do that.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes. Aaron has always been smartest guy in the room. Absolutely. Have I enjoyed conversations on the show? Yes, because I think he's smart. I think he's opinionated. But I think in some pictures that, people don't align with his thinking because he is the smartest guy in the room. He wants to tell you he's the smartest guy in the room. But if he can come back, the tricky part for me is really about the football. And that is, if you're Robert Saleh, you're the Jets coach, or you're the owner, and Aaron wants to come back, but does he want to come back because, let's say you're not in the playoff picture. Can he help you? Is this about Aaron saying, I want to come back no matter where we are? If we're not in the playoff picture, I want to come back. And I do think that that's what's going to happen. I don't think the Jets are going to. Now, the Jets said, well, he's got to have a note from his doctor. I'm sure that he'll get a note from his doctor. Just guessing, but probably will. But it would be a great story. After how he went down, went out, and all those moves that he helped make in the offseason. Now, he's not a good GM, by the way. you know, the people he brought in didn't play well. Rodgers coming back, you know, what are they, 4-7? I guess there's still a chance that they might be sort of in the hunt when he comes back. Yes, Todd?
If he comes back and they're 5-10, then I don't know what kind of story that is. That's 100%, look at me, look what I was able to do before the end of the
season.
Are
you rooting for Aaron Rodgers to come
back? I like watching Aaron Rodgers play. I want to see him come back, but I don't need regular updates. I know he goes on a weekly show and he's asked about it, so he has to talk about it, but they're 4-7 right now, and I just don't need regular updates. I was saying, when he comes back, if and when he comes back, great. But until then, I don't need to get regular notifications.
Yeah, but I think that now you don't have to watch. And I think he's asked about the time frame here. So, I mean, McAfee's asking. What if McAfee didn't ask? Then we'd be like, why aren't you asking? You know, it's a paid appearance. You should be able to ask him whatever you want to ask him. Yeah, Seton.
It's weird because social media sometimes, especially Twitter, is like, and I'll just say it for myself, a lot of times it's like things I think, but I don't say out loud.
Yeah.
But then you could just fire off at a tweet, be like, I can't stand this guy. He sucks. And then you move on with your day. And then when enough people do that, it becomes this overwhelming narrative. You know, like, I don't know that a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about Aaron Rodgers and his Achilles, but in the moment, you're like, this guy's annoying, or, oh, wow, that'd be great. And then you move on with your day. You know, it's not like this coordinated effort to undermine Aaron Rodgers and his medical advances or something. It's sometimes portrayed that way.
It doesn't ruin my day.
Yeah.
It doesn't make my day. It's not like I go, can't believe it, gave an update on McAfee. Like, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, fine. You know, he tried. And maybe it does improve, you know, the possibilities, the odds of players coming back sooner. I mean, Cam Akers came back relatively quickly, considering Achilles. Remember when Durant goes down, Kobe went down, and basketball is different because of, you know, the wear and tear that's going to be on your Achilles as opposed to a football player. But I think it's a fascinating story. And if he does come back and they're 5-10 and management lets him, I mean, you're going to watch that game. You're going to watch to see how he performs. You're going to watch to see if he re-injures himself. You're going to watch to see what if, what could have been for the Jets. There's a lot of things that are attached to that. Hopefully his Achilles is attached. Yes, Marv.
Yeah, and if you're like Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall and you guys have like a great game, the last game of the season with Aaron Rodgers, you're probably like, damn, this could have been all season, us just going off, just having a great year.
Well, I'm curious what the audience thinks. Are you rooting for Aaron Rodgers to come back or not? And if not, I'd be curious. And I don't know if he rubs you the wrong way. It's hard not to bring in somebody's personality sometimes. And being in this business for such a long period of time, I've been around athletes or coaches where it's not just I see what they do when they're on a court or a field. I see who they are. And sometimes the lines get blurred with that. That you might like a guy a little bit more than you probably should, or you might hold it against a guy a little bit more than you should. I mean, we're human with our reaction to this. And with Rodgers, it just feels like you're either for him or against him. I don't know if people are neutral on Aaron. Yeah, Paul.
We've been doing this a long time, and this reminds me of being on the air when Curt Schilling had the bloody sock in 04 in the ALCS for the Boston Red Sox. And during that time, I can remember being on air, and still to this day, there are people that doubt Curt Schilling had surgery on his foot. Or was it stitches? Was it surgery? Was it a procedure? What was he bleeding? Did he make it bleed to get more attention for himself? The coverage is very similar to Aaron Rodgers' coverage now. And I think it's because there's a lot of people who find that person, Rodgers or Curt Schilling, distasteful.
And
they don't
Schilling
like
was a know-it-all, too.
They're very similar in their tone. You know, I'm not going to tell you what I like or not like about either of them, but there's people out there who don't like them and doubted their injury because they didn't like them.
I remember when he came out of the dugout and he was going to go to the bullpen for a bullpen session. And I said to Terry Francona, I said, what is Schilling doing? Like, I thought it was a publicity stunt. I thought it was like, oh, he wants to get some attention here. And he had a high boot on. And I'm going, wait, what's Schill doing? And Terry Francona goes, no, he thinks he can pitch. And I go, what? Paulie was there with me. I'm talking to Terry Francona, the manager, and I go, what? So he comes in from his bullpen session, and I could tell he was going to try to pitch. Although for the life of me, I never understood why they didn't bunt on him like 15 times. But hey, you know, the Yankees, hey, whatever your game plan was. Yes, Eaton.
Was Curt Schilling as polarizing in 2004, I guess, as he was in, as he is now and in going into 2024?
No.
So then I don't know that people not liking him because of how polarizing he is really has anything to do with his bleeding ankle.
Well, I don't think they were rooting for him. Like, there were people who were suspicious, like, where is that sock? Yeah, nobody's seen that sock. Like, there were people who did question it, and over the years, it felt like it kind of grew. It was a mushroom cloud with chill. But I didn't go, oh, I think he's deceiving people, or he put ketchup on there. But there were people who did say that. So, to what extent, I don't remember. I just know there were a lot of people rolling their eyes when Schill came in from the bullpen.
I know that I've said that over the last 20 years on this show a gajillion times because it's a joke. It's hilarious. You know what I mean? But I don't know that.
He's polarizing now.
Now he is, no, yeah. I mean, those people then, who thought he was an idiot then were really wrong.
But he was a know-it-all back then.
See, how much of this, though, we keep going back to the know-it-all thing, right? Yeah. Like, regardless of political leanings, anybody who walks into a room and is a know-it-all, it doesn't matter what side you think. Most people are like, oh, God, this guy's annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Joe was annoying.
You know, yeah, yeah. Aaron Rodgers, when he does that stuff, is annoying. Yeah. I like Aaron Rodgers.
I do, too.
He's the most talented football player I've ever seen.
Yeah, of course. Most talented quarterback.
But he's annoying when he does that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you can like people and still find them annoying.
And Joe, yes. Yeah. It's Hello? Called marriage. What?
Oh!
What? in this room, you know, it could be. Yes, Todd, did you have something to say?
Yeah,
you?
Just in that room.
Do you believe in establishing momentum for next season? As far as Aaron Rodgers, say they're 4-10, whatever, 5-9. Their last three games are the Commanders, Browns, and Patriots. Is there anything that Aaron Rodgers can bring to the Jets in those last couple of games that would be, it's great that he came back because they won two of those three, or they won all three, and they're ready for next season? Or is it just about, hey, look what I did. I got back by Christmas like I said I would.
What do you think?
I think it'd be all about him. And there's nothing much to gain by beating the Commanders or the Patriots at the end of the season.
I think so.
Next season.
I think they need something to build off of. They need something to take into the offseason that's positive. Like, oh my God, Rodgers, he played pretty well. Did you see what, you know, the possibilities we have here? And if it doesn't go well, then it's just the Jets being the Jets. All right, we'll take a break. We'll settle on our poll question. Phone calls are always welcome. Operator Tyler standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. We'll take a break. We're back after this. Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Dynasty the King. King.
What's good, y'all? It's your main man, Michael Smith, esteemed NFL analyst and certified fantasy football legend. Allow me to present to you your new favorite fantasy football podcast, The Dynasty Exchange, hosted by my first-round rookie picks, Davis, Dylan, and Josh, three guys who most definitely know their stuff. They're the co-commissioners of the coolest and most cutthroat dynasty league you'll ever come across, the Yacht Club. And now they're the co-hosts of the most elite. Now make that the definitive dynasty program in the game. It's dedicated to only the most devoted of diehards. The guys like me who can't stay off Sleeper and KTC. And trust me, you won't regret making the choice to follow their dynasty advice. Listen to Michael Smith Presents The Dynasty Exchange on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Albert Breer. Somehow we make a smooth segue to Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback. Albert, thanks for joining us. We've been noodling this around the first 90 minutes of the show. If I had a survey, anonymous survey with members of the media, if they're rooting for Aaron Rodgers to come back or not, how do you think that survey would play out?
I would hope most of us would want to see him come back just because the storyline's an awesome one. You know, the idea that somebody can come back this fast is, I mean, in a vacuum, a good story. But on top of that, what could that mean for athletes going forward? You know, if they found something here that got a quarterback back into an NFL game, you know, whatever it is, like a little over 3 months after he tore his Achilles, which, I mean, whatever, 10, 15 years ago is like a death sentence for a football player. That's awesome, you know, and it's especially awesome for like the bigger guys too. Like, you know, the bigger guys are always the ones that have such a hard time coming back from this. And so I think on a number of different levels, it'd be a good story if he was able to do this. I can't imagine anybody would not want to follow, Aaron Rodgers desperately trying to get the Jets back in the playoff picture in a weakened AFC too. Like the AFC is not what we thought it was, which can be part of this as well.
Well, I think you have an altruistic, I mean, you have the positive spin on this. It feels like there's members of the media that are either for Rodgers or against, that they're for him or against him.
I don't know. I mean, that's not our job.
I agree. I understand that. But it feels like people are picking sides with this or, Rodgers, did he really have a torn Achilles?
Does this come back to like the fact that he's on McAfee every week and some of the controversial stuff he says? I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, like my dealings with Aaron have been, you know, pretty positive over the years. I know you've had some too. And, I know that there is that part of it, right? Like the guy likes attention, and, you know, it's got to be an interesting thing for Robert Saleh to, you know, get a State of the Union speech every Friday by tuning into McAfee, right? Like, so there's that part of it where I can understand where people would be, you know, a little annoyed or a little worn out by all of it. But, you know, just, I mean, look, like, would you really rather watch Tim Boyle play football than Aaron Rodgers? You know what I mean? Like, it's the same as, like, would you rather watch Jake Browning play than Joe Burrow? Would you rather watch Dorian Thompson-Robinson play?
Different scenarios. That
They are, but it's like, in the end, isn't, like, that what this is about?
Well, nobody's rooting for Deshaun Watson to come back. Like, people have rooted against Deshaun Watson or covered him in a slanted way.
I think that that's, like, a little... That's different, though. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of what you think of what he did, if you're convinced that he did what he's accused of doing, then, yeah, I absolutely can understand why somebody might root against him, you know? Like, with Aaron Rodgers, it feels more like they just don't like his personality, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, it feels, like, different than Deshaun Watson.
Is Mac Jones done in New England?
I think it depends on who the coach is next year. But I think for this year, there's a good chance he is. I think Bailey Zappe goes out and plays well on Sunday and runs the offense and is able to be a distributor out there. He doesn't need to be a world beater, but just gives him a chance and doesn't turn the ball over. My guess would be that, you know, that Mac Jones could be shut down for the rest of the year. And if I'm the Patriots, by the way, like, if I'm not starting him on Sunday, I'm not dressing him, because I've seen too many teams make this mistake where it's like, okay, we want to give the kid a reset. We think the wiring's messed up, but we're going to make him the backup. So then the minute, like, the starting quarterback gets hurt, that whole plan goes up in smoke. It happened with the Jets, right? Like, the Jets, the plan was for Zach Wilson to get a real career reset and be able to sit and watch. And, like, if the Jets were really committed to doing that, they would have made him the third stringer, not the second stringer. Because the minute the starter gets hurt, the second stringer's going in, right? So I think with Mac, and the wiring is definitely off. Like, and he is dealing now with, I think, some of the things that Zach Wilson dealt with, where it's a little bit like you can't get right. Like, that's what the yips is, right? Like, you just can't get right. And I think it's for a variety of different reasons. And I think the right thing for him right now would be to sit down. Whether or not he's done long term in New England, I think depends on who's coaching the team and who's making the decisions in 2024. And we still don't know who that is.
Okay, if it's Bill Belichick,
I think Mac would be gone. That'd be my guess.
All right. Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback, joining us. Your take on the last couple of days with the Carolina Panthers?
I think it's an owner getting his sea legs. It's interesting because, like, I had a question in my mailbag this week. It's up on the site. It asked me if he's, like, the next Snyder. And I think people ignore, like, how often owners stumble around at the beginning, and, like, it takes a while for them to figure it out. And I think that's become the default thing. Like, when an owner comes in and messes things up in the beginning, it's like, oh, well, he's Dan Snyder. Well, I think what often happens is these guys come in and they're so successful in whatever business they're coming from, and they've always been the smartest guy in the room. And then they come into this environment and they think, okay, well, I'll just be able to push all the same buttons I pushed as a real estate tycoon or as a hedge fund manager, and it's going to work. And football doesn't work that way, you know? And so sometimes these guys have to fall on their face a little and get bloodied a little. And I think that's what Tepper's kind of going through right now. And, you know, I think that you can look at the lesson in San Francisco, where, you know, Jed York clashed with Jim Harbaugh and then went through basically like 2 1-year restarts with Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly. And that place was seen as toxic, like one of the worst organizations in the league. And he had to, like, basically can control and long contracts to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and say, I trust you guys, go fix it. Yeah. And I think that's sort of where Tepper is right now, you know, is that he's wanted to be involved, but he's not there. He's not in the office every day. He has sort of taken ideas from other organizations and tried to apply them with people that he's bringing in. As a result, Frank Reich hired a coaching staff that maybe he wasn't all that familiar with. They tried to put together an all-star team. That's always a tough thing to make work in football. And, you know, I think that there's just, there hasn't been a cogent, like, organizational philosophy there.
But could you see Belichick wanting to work for that owner?
If he gives him control, maybe.
Yeah, but that's the thing. This guy feels like he wants to, you know, there's a couple. You got Jerry
Jones. Well, that's the thing is, like, I don't know because, like, it's, you know what, that's it, Dan, is, like, a lot of these guys, like, they don't buy the team to sit on the sideline. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, So how do you strike that balance where it's like, you know, I think that's the other thing is when these guys first buy these teams, they're gung-ho. They want to be involved in everything. Well, I mean, if David Tepper's not there every day, but he's basically operating when he's in the building as if he's there every day, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're in there, like, so he'd come in on Friday for home games and leave Tuesday. What's the most important part of the week for a football team? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? And Tuesday for game plan for coaches. So he's missing all of that. But he's operating as if he's the boss and he's there day to day. You know, like, that's the thing is, like, how do you strike the balance between wanting to be involved and wanting to gather information and wanting to be a resource and wanting to use all the business principles that you have, but also, like, understanding, like, I have to delegate some of this, and there's a lot of stuff that I don't know, and there's stuff that I shouldn't really involve myself in, and there are some decisions that I need to farm out to other people. Like, to me, like, the assembly of the all-star staff was, like, a big part of it. Like, he saw what the Giants did with Brian Daboll, right, where Daboll brought in some guys he didn't know to coach for him. Well, Daboll went through this, like, huge process where he had, like, basically the coaches who were already on staff group interviewing people who were potentially going to come in and work for them. And then he saw what the Niners did, right? Like, where the Niners had all of these guys go through, and D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh and Mike McDaniel and Martin Mayhew and Rand Carthon, where they were getting draft picks for the scouts and coaches that had come through their system, like, you know, via the incentive structure the NFL set up for minority hiring. Well, you know, that's great, you know, but, like, is your goal to hire a good coach, or is your goal to get a draft pick on the other end of it, right? I mean, I think that there were all these ideas that David Tepper had that weren't bad ideas, but he was just, like, applying them all at once. And I think as a result, you wound up with this coaching staff that really didn't had a big learning curve as far as figuring out how to work together. And then you get in the season, and the offense looks like a mess, and the defense doesn't match the offense, and now you're not giving the group time to grow together, and, like, what are you, you know? So I think that that's going to be, like, the big thing coming out of this is, like, what is the Panthers' organizational philosophy? If, like, in a straight line, like, how would you describe what they are? Because up until this point, it feels like they've been a mishmash of ideas, and that's on the owner for not empowering people to set what the organizational structure, philosophy, culture, all that stuff's going
to
be.
Jim Harbaugh more attractive to NFL teams this year or last year?
I think he would be this year. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think, like, I don't understand why there hasn't been more interest in him. Like, he hasn't gotten an offer the last couple of years, you know? Like, and I don't understand why, like, I understand things didn't end well in San Francisco, right? Like, but, I mean, if you look, like, so he has built a culture everywhere he went, right? He built a culture everywhere he went that looks exactly the same. Stanford looks the same as the Niners, looks the same as Michigan, right? And he has a certain type of player that is in every one of those that was in every one of those organizations, right? The two college teams and the pro team. And, like, you put the whole thing together and it's like, this guy's Bill Parcells. Like, he comes in, he shakes it up. He knows what he wants to look like. It looks the same everywhere he goes. They have the same philosophy and culture and the same types of people everywhere he goes. I don't understand why somebody wouldn't want to buy into that, right? Like, why somebody wouldn't want that. Now, maybe it's not a 10-year answer. Maybe it's a 4 or 5 year answer, but I mean, look, like, I think, like, if you look at, like, Michigan, right? Like, his team was 6-0 without him on the sideline. And that says something about what he put in place there, right? And I think, like, I mean, honestly, Saturday freaking hurt for me, you know, but, like, what I saw was a staff without its head coach coaching like it was an NFL game.
right? Like that was the difference. They won on the margins. They weren't more talented. We'll see that in 5 years. The Ohio State roster had way more NFL, like way more like high-end NFL players on it. What it was, they owned the situations. They owned the margins. They won on the margins. They played to win that specific game. And so, you know, like they were great on fourth down. They were great on special teams. They won the game with a long field goal. Ohio State missed a long field goal. Ohio State had short punts. They had long punts. They had the trick plays when they needed. They went for it on fourth down. They had the 4-minute drive at the end of the game. And like all of that is part, my point is that all of that is part of what Jim Harbaugh's built. And I can't understand for the life of me why an NFL team would look at that and want that. Were things hard at the end in San Francisco? Yeah, they were. Like they weren't. There was not a great environment in that building. But even when it was really bad, what were they, 9-7 that last year?
I think so.
Isn't that right? I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe I'm the one who's crazy. You know, but
no, Harbaugh's crazy.
Harbaugh's crazy. But so are a lot of these guys.
yeah. Crazy, I mean, successful.
But you've dealt with enough of them. How many of them are like you sort of have to have a screw loose, right?
Nobody's. I don't want normal. I mean, he's different. That's what you buy into.
Is Bill Belichick a normal, well-adjusted human being?
Albert, no, I'm not.
I mean, it's not like it's just. Yeah, so I think, like, to me, like, I think, like, he is, I felt this way forever. Like, I think he's Parcells, right? Like, he runs hot, he comes in, he'll shake up, like, he'll come in and he'll shake up whatever place he's walking into, he'll change it in short order, like, he may wind up burning people out. And, like, if you're looking for a guy to be your coach for the next 15 years, probably not it, right? But, like, I don't know, like the way that he's changed these places and like the trademark he's put on it, like how it just looks a certain way. You know what I mean? It's identifiable. There's no scatter shot. Oh, we're going to try this or try. No. It looks like, you know what that looks like. It's pretty impressive.
And I say that, and it hurts me to say that. Yes, and you being an Ohio State guy, maybe you're happy to get him out of Michigan. Great to talk to you, as always. Thank you. Thank you, Albert.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Yeah, the Harbaugh thing is interesting. If you're going to have this many openings, and I know the Raiders and Harbaugh flirted with each other years ago, would Carolina's owner turn it over to Jim Harbaugh? Would Carolina's owner turn it over to Bill Belichick? I'm just trying to think of landing spots. You know, Atlanta's leading the division. I don't think there's a guarantee Arthur Smith is going to come back with the Falcons. It just feels like there could be 7 to 10 openings next season. Yeah, Paulie?
If you see Harbaugh and he's angling to get in the NFL, do you think he could look at a place like Buffalo with a good roster and a very good quarterback, but maybe an opening that's unexpected in a town that would embrace a guy like him? A guy who would embrace a town like that, like it's almost like a college football program, Buffalo.
Yeah, I could get that small market feel to that, but it just seems like he wants to go back, and I think he thought he was going to get the Vikings job before Kevin O'Connell got that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Dylan from the Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble podcast has a four-leg parlay, same-game parlay, Iowa and Michigan. He'll tell you about that. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments,
to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greg McElroy, ESPN ABC college football analyst and former quarterback. He won a national championship. And you ask him about it, he'd be happy to tell you how he led Alabama to that national championship all by yourself, didn't you, Greg?
Yes, it was a one-man effort, because football often is, Dan, as you know.
You were like Cam when Cam was at Auburn.
Yeah, just like him. Absolutely. Could not be more comparable. Even in skill set, very similar.
Okay. Is there a downside to the portal, transfer portal?
There is. I think that there's probably more benefit to the teams than there is to the player. We celebrate the individual players that wind up in better situations. We celebrate those that leverage. I mean, the portal now in a lot of ways is used in a way that holdouts are used in the NFL to better your NIL situation. So guys will go in not expecting to leave, get re-upped, and then go back to school. So it's used as a leverage mechanism, but I don't think there's enough attention paid to the amount of guys that go in that actually never come out.
Yeah.
They go in and they don't have a home. So we're seeing somewhere in the vicinity of 20 to 25% of the college football players overall entering the portal on a yearly basis. And very few of them are ending up in better situations than the one they departed. And ultimately they end up having to walk on to places, taking on student debt. And that's not ideal. So that's the underbelly and the part that no one wants to talk about, but there is some good in there as well.
Why is Deion losing recruits?
Well, a couple of days ago, about a week ago or so, he came out and said that you'll make money here in the NIL world if you come here and prove it. But we're not going to be the type of school that's going to front load the NIL packages. And I think there was a response to that, and people are kind of connecting the dots. I think it's more about the way they finished and some of the staff turnover that they've experienced. They just lost their offensive coordinator. Well, he was their offensive coordinator. He was demoted midseason, and now he's the head coach at San Diego State. That's Sean Lewis. So that, I think, might have played a role as well. But, I mean, they lost 6 of the last 7 and didn't look great in the process. So I think some of it's momentum-based, and some of it might have to do with what Deion said is related to NIL, and some of it might have to do with staff continuity.
Okay, but how sustainable is this for Deion Sanders? He was the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. Just named him that. Sustainable of what he's doing in Colorado, in your opinion?
I think it's sustainable in a sense that he's still going to be a hot topic of conversation. I think it's sustainable in the new conference that he's moving into. That's the Big 12 next year. He obviously is well known around the country, but he's really well known and really well respected in the state of Texas, where that's kind of the heart of the Big 12, the new Big 12. So I think that could be beneficial. And we have to also keep in mind, now I'm not going to say that they had a great year. They overachieved on their Vegas win total by a half game. And they needed two pretty remarkable upsets to be able to even pull that off. That one against TCU when they had the surprise element on their side in week one when no one knew what they were going to do offensively or defensively. So TCU really didn't know what they were doing. They were kind of preparing for ghosts. But I still think progress was made this year, way more significant as far as their competitiveness in year number one than they were in the year before. So I think it's sustainable in the sense that they're going to continue to be a problem for teams, but are they going to take on the college football world and just show you the new frontier? I don't know if I necessarily am going to go down that rabbit hole at the moment.
All right. Tell me why Jim Harbaugh should leave Michigan and why he should stay.
Well, there's a million reasons why he should stay. There's also a million reasons why he should leave. Should leave and will leave are very different things. I think that you go to the NFL. I mean, we fire coaches in the NFL after 10 games. Owner doesn't like you, you're out. We found that out all too often with what's gone on in Carolina the last couple of years. But there's a million examples of guys that have gotten less than 2 years. Right now, he could stay at Michigan for as long as he wants. And I think they got a real chance to win the national championship this year. And they match up pretty well against every team that might make the college football playoff. I think they look like they're in a pretty good spot to handle their business this weekend and maybe even become the number one overall seed, depending on what happens with Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship. So I think there's more reasons to stay than there are to go. But Jim Harbaugh is a competitive guy, almost to a point where it might even be considered a character flaw. But I don't necessarily see it that way. But he lost to his brother and had it at the 5-yard line going in. And I would imagine that's something that eats at him probably every day. So the opportunity to get back and kind of right the wrongs of what went down this last time in San Francisco, I wouldn't be shocked if he took one. But I think he's going to take the right one. I mean, there's been rumors every year that he's going to go. It's been Indianapolis. It's been Minnesota. It's been Vegas. It's been Denver. I mean, I thought he might take all four, and he hasn't yet. So if the right one presents itself with a quality quarterback and a good situation with draft picks, I could see him definitely taking one.
Greg McElroy, he was the quarterback of Alabama when they won the national title in 2010. He works for the Mothership. He has the Always College Football podcast on ESPN. Florida State is without its best player. If you're the committee, let's say Florida State wins, beats Louisville, do they pass the eye test without having their best quarterback? Because that you want the four best teams in the playoffs. Would Florida State be one of the four best teams in America?
Well, Dan, it's I know what the committee tells us, right? But they have not saying what you expect it to be and actually doing it are two very different things. They have not put in the four best teams multiple times. Now, we haven't had drama in our sport since 2018. That was the last time we had drama on Selection Day. So it's been a while. It's been pretty cut and dry, chalky, four teams that are really qualified with an outlier that might be able to make their way in. So it's been pretty easy to digest since 2018. The last time, though, in 2018, Ohio State was left out. They were lost by 29 points. To Purdue that year. They were 12-1 Big Ten conference title champions. They were left out in favor of Oklahoma, who lost by 3 earlier in the season to Texas and avenged that loss. So it was pretty understandable that Oklahoma be in over Ohio State, but that was really the last controversial decision. But if it was really the four best, and here's where I have a problem with it, Dan. I know you look, you are like me, like you love sports and you want to see the best and most competitive environments. I do too, and I don't want to see blowouts in the semifinal games of the national championship. That's bad for the sport. But if we're really going to go with the four best, then why don't we just let the NFL scouts tell us who the four best are? But why don't we let Vegas give us their power ratings, and here's the four best, and we just play a 15-way round robin because these teams have the most pros. If you're going four best, then you're probably going to go some combination of Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Texas. Those teams have the most pros. But that's not what it should be about. I mean, we, in our sport, more than any others, the regular season has to matter. I mean, it's our strongest attribute is our regular season. Our postseason has been a mess for forever. And people have, I think, been turned off by the sport because of the postseason structure, whether it was when they voted for championships or it was just two and now it's four and they think good teams could still make it. I mean, the NFL regular season is elite because of fantasy and all these other amazing things that we follow. But the NFC South is going to get a team in the playoff. Should they? Absolutely not. That's not one of the eight best teams, 10, 15, 16 best teams in the league.
And host a playoff game
against a team in the wild card that's probably better than them. So the NFL postseason structure is amazing, and it's easy to justify. It's easy to comprehend and consume. Ours is very difficult. That's why we're going to the 12 team, which would be good. But Florida State should get in. They did what was asked of them. They scheduled a difficult team out of conference. That would be LSU. They won that game by 21 points. And while they lost their quarterback, a team is more than one individual player. I mean, would anybody have picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl against the greatest show on turf with Tom Brady? I mean, you never know what your backup quarterback might do when given the opportunity. So there have been a bunch of examples of backup quarterbacks, even in the NFL, that have gone on and have great careers. Tony Romo, Brady, a million others that have been thrust into the spotlight and end up being better than their predecessors. So I don't know if Tate Rodemaker is going to be that for Florida State. Probably not. But who am I to judge what that team should be able to do moving forward? They should make it in my opinion.
Give me the surprise this weekend.
Oh, I think Bama's going to beat Georgia. I really do. I think they match up really well. And Georgia is excellent. They're really good. And they have an elite quarterback. And Dan, you'll be talking about this guy for a long time. Carson Beck's going to make a lot of money at the next level. I think he is, at worst, third, fourth best prospect coming out. And it's only because he just doesn't have that much tape. But I think he's right there alongside Drake May and Caleb Williams. I think he's that good. So he's unbelievable. They have great weapons on the perimeter. Brock Bowers at tight end. Ladd McConkey is their number one receiver, but he's been a little banged up this year. They've had a few guys banged up offensively. But the problem with Georgia is their defense is just not what it was. I mean, when you think Georgia, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, like the last 2 years, they are unbelievable on the defensive side. They've been gassed for 200 multiple times on the ground this year. Yeah. Auburn did it. Bama has elite speed and good offensive line, a quarterback that can really hurt you. Georgia's 112th in the country on yards given up on zone reads, which is nuts to me. A Georgia defense giving up 6 yards per carry on zone read. That's nuts. So I think Bama actually matches up really well, and Georgia now is riding a 29-game win streak, and I think it might come to an end on Saturday afternoon.
You played for Nick Saban. What kind of pep talk do you think he'll have coming up this weekend?
Well, when I was playing, you know, we've been doing the show together for, well, I've been a guest with you guys for 14 years. I would have probably gotten something along the lines of don't screw it up. That would have been the message to me at quarterback.
So there's no rah rah. There's no, you know, fire and brimstone. Win one for the Gipper.
Well, I'd love to tell you that there was. He's kind of the same guy. And that's why I think the team is so steady. He doesn't ramp it up for specific games. I mean, what you get when you're playing Chattanooga is the same as what you'll get from Arkansas. Is the same as what you'll get in the pregame leading up to Georgia. Everyone else, like, he doesn't need to energize his team. Like, he knows how to press the buttons. If anything, he wants to kind of bring them down a little bit because they're probably going to be on edge. Yeah. The biggest game they've had all year. It's probably going to be a little ramped up, maybe a little emotional. He's probably going to bring them down to earth just a little bit this week and kind of, hey, calm. We're going to be fine. Just execute the plan. Do your job. That's been the message kind of leading into the game. So you would expect him tossing tables and, you know, like Lou in Major League, where he's flipping tables and stuff. It's not really how he is. He's not banging lockers. If anything, he's trying to meet you in the middle because you're already going to be ramped up. So I think he's the best at what he does and being able to kind of keep things consistent. And that's why his team has performed so beautifully in games like this. He's 10-1 in SEC championship games in his career. 10-1, which is really insane.
I just can't imagine your coach as you're getting ready to go out, play for a national championship. Hey, McElroy. Don't screw it up. All right, let's go get it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. If I were in his shoes, I would have probably said the same thing.
Great to talk to you,
Don't
Greg.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah. Thanks Always for joining us, buddy. All right. That's Appreciate Greg McElroy. It, works for the Mothership. He was part of Georgia Tech broadcast. He'll be calling the Big 12 title game, Oklahoma State in Texas. That'll be noon Eastern.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.